Well, I don't know how your day's going, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. It's the worst day ever. It's the 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast, talking about Season 2, Episode 9, the 4 to 5 p.m. hour. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by Emily Fox. Emily, I'm so sorry. Jack Bauer is about to die. This is horrible.
1 hour to the next.
This is horrible.
Just mounting tension.
He's at gunpoint by Nina Myers. Nina Myers has a gun.
After he gave her mouth to mouth.
And he gave her mouth to mouth.
And in the time of COVID, it's very hard to watch something like that without being like, ugh.
He saved her life.
I know.
He saved her life. And look at what she's doing. She's got a gun.
This is how you treat me?
This is how you treat me, he says. Oh, my God.
So upsetting.
So Nina Myers has a gun and Jack Bauer is at gunpoint and he's going to die. She's got a presidential pardon in advance. She's been authorized to murder, licensed to kill. The show's about to end in one episode.
Licensed to krill?
I'm sorry that
That's a great fishing show
listen,
idea.
Listen, Emily, I don't know. I tried to warn you. Season two is the season where Jack Bauer dies. And we've reached the moment.
How is that possible?
We've reached the moment.
I don't believe it. We've,
I don't believe you.
I call farce.
You're going to say, I call farts on this.
This stinks and I don't like
this
it.
This stinks and I dislike it.
What a gaseous plot.
All right. Well, so we've got a long way to go. That's a different podcast. In order to get to this final moment of the episode where Nina Myers has Jack Bauer at gunpoint and a presidential pardon on the way, should they apprehend the nuclear bomb in episode 9 of 24 season 2. That is where we leave things off, but we got to get to that point first. So let's get into the episode, Emily. First of all, I just want to keep asking at the top before I forget, letter grade for this one.
I would give it an A.
Okay, what stops it from the plus? Do you want to talk that through? Do you want to take some time to go through the episode to get to why this doesn't get a plus?
Yeah,
let's
jog my memory a little bit.
Yeah. It's been a long day. We've been watching 24 nonstop today.
Why
folks.
Do you got to blow up our spot? We could have been doing this over weeks of time.
No, this
was a binge.
We're still on the same day where we came up with 2020 Tool. Anyway, so the episode begins.
All of this is starting to bleed together.
I know. Ron Whelan is still on television being like, yeah, the president sucks. And I'm out. What's up? And David totally believes that Sherry Palmer was responsible for this. Sherry, did you do this? She's like, no, I didn't. I didn't do this one. I promise I didn't. And Mike Novick's like, David, it's true. Look at this. This is Armis. It's the Secret Service guy. And he's got video of Armis, the Secret Service guy. Screw you, Brett Harvey. Fred Harley Jarvis? Fred Harley Armis? Yeah, he did it. He got Ron out of there. And yeah. So there's trouble in paradise in David Palmer. This whole
Is
thing.
Is this paradise?
It's not. Pretty clearly.
They paved paradise and they put up a parking lot a long time ago
long
in this
time
world.
Ago. Meanwhile, this CGI ass looking airplane is about to go
bad.
Down any minute. This looks like, what is it, the Thunderbirds? I think it's the Thunderbirds with the puppets and stuff. It's very Team America, Emily. It's like, this is definitely
like,
a toy.
Where are you going with this?
This yeah. is a toy. They're running all over the plane. They're like, Nina, tell us everything. Tell us where the bomb is, please. We'll
Did
give-
you see, like, the one guy, like, the security guy that's, like, flanked with cutlets is just closing his eyes and not even moving? I thought he was dead.
No, he was like the. It's like that moment in Almost Famous. He's about to make a confession. Mm. He's like, he's got things that he needs to tell people on this plane.
I mean, I would probably play dead if I were about to crash.
Why? Because you wouldn't want to help?
Well, no, it's just like you have your own private moment where you're like, this is it.
I got to get right with myself.
Yeah.
They put George Mason on speakerphone, and George Mason on speakerphone is like, hey, Nina, could you tell us where the bomb is? And she says, no, even if I do, even if I survive and like we don't make it, you know, even if we make it out of this plane crash alive, Jack's just going to kill me.
It's a kill or get killed.
Cutlets
episode.
Isn't going to be able to protect me from Jack. And Jack is like, no, that's why Cutlets is here, right, Cutlets? And then Cutlets literally pulls a gun
yeah.
on Nina. He says, do one last good thing with your life. She is not down to do that kind of thing.
And he's not wrong.
The plane crashes. It's static. That's all they get.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And improbable.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it only gets an A.
Okay. So at 4:06 up in Oregon, David wants the witch hunt to find Brett Harley Armis, Bart Harley Armis. I apologize. Sherry is pouring herself some kind of beverage, perhaps a sherry.
No, it's not.
It's a tea.
It's a coffee.
And David says, "I'm so sorry, Sherry. I've been very rude to you. I jumped to the wrong conclusions on this one." She says, "That's
Sherry."
Oh, she's doing it again.
Sorry.
She's doing it again.
Okay, that's it.
And David, it's okay, David. I didn't expect you to change your attitude towards me overnight. Apology accepted. And so David's like, well, I guess I got to talk to the press. Can someone write me a speech? I need someone to write me a speech. At 4:08, we see the wreckage of the plane. Jack has like a tree.
It just looks like it fell apart.
Yeah, it's weird. You know,
looked like someone dropped their Lego set.
Things happened fast. Because it's very funny because like the wreckage is like spread across this, you know, sort of.
There's like no burning.
Yeah.
Like there's no sort of.
There's
like
no real smoldering.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
There's no real smoldering anything. There's just like wreckage and it's strewn about in ways that are sometimes convenient, such as there's like this one little ramp that's been built by a piece of plane that just plopped in the absolute right spot.
Yeah, so they could walk over a huge, like, you know, divot in the ground.
Jack has to, like, take a tree branch out of his... I have it in my notes as Jack has a tree branch in his leg, because I wrote L-A-G instead of leg. Sorry about that. Cutlets is pretty badly wiped out, and he's just like, Nina Myers, find her. Blah.
Yeah.
He's not doing good.
No.
He grabs a phone from him, and he gets a gun as well from him, and he's like, don't worry, Cutlets, you're going to pull through. Hang in there. He finds Nina Myers. She's not breathing. So Jack...
Looks like she like landed face down,
which like, does
literally mean she should not be alive.
It does look like that.
like someone just like dropped a chair and it just went like right into the
ground.
It
does look like she just ate shit.
Yeah.
Somehow she is still alive. Jack has to do CPRs, just like Santa Barbara. She bursts back to life.
After two breaths.
So breath, silly. Breath. Jack Bauer, super CPR. This is a thing. Mike Bloom and I discovered that Jack Shepard has the power of super CPR on Lost. So maybe
it
Jack
only
Bauer
makes sense
does too.
So many overlays of like Lost characters.
It's all these Lostian Jacks. Later at CTU, Michelle is trying to triangulate the coordinates that Jack gave them of where to send the search and rescue team, and George Mason just starts bleeding all over her tablet. She's just like bleeding from the nose right onto the tablet screen.
I think it's here.
I'm pretty sure it's here. She's like, excuse. He doesn't even talk about it. He notices that he bled on the tablet. Michelle obviously notices, but he just like keeps having the conversation as if that didn't happen. Mega awkward.
This happened to me once in a Girl Scout camp where I had to pee really bad, but I was afraid to go to the latrines. So I changed into my bathing suit and just like peed behind a tree. But
okay.
Then someone was like, hey, Emily. So I was just peeing through my bathing suit, talking to somebody. like nothing was happening.
Emily, that's the first time I've ever heard that story. And it's amazing.
I just tried to play it cool. I don't really think I've ever told anyone that. Now you all know. Like, I was like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah, I'll be at the lake soon. See you soon.
Emily, you're the best person I know. Unbelievably great. At CTU, Tony's yelling at George for finally giving a crap about his job. Why do you care all of a sudden? Well, Tony, it's because
I'm dying.
He tells Tony the whole deal, and Emily was doing a Tony impression watching the episode going, God, I feel like such an asshole. He says, I don't know what to say, George. He's like, yeah, it sucks. I don't know. Nobody knows except for you and Jack. Can we keep it that way? Tony asks if there's anything I can do. George says, yeah, just do your job and let me do mine. Tony is good with that for right now. Meanwhile, they have this idea that they're going to put Bob and Reza in the same room together.
Yeah, because it's not working out, separate rooms.
They've got a lot of proof that someone in this Warner group is linked to Syed Ali. There's a bill for a container that was sent to Syed Ali. So at least one of you is lying, and I'll let you two work it out for yourselves. Whoever talks first wins immunity. One-time offer expires in 10 minutes. So we'll see how that shakes out very soon. At 419, freaking Kim and Miguel have just been sitting in this spot for so long. Despite the fact that George said he would handle it and personally grab Kim and Miguel with CTU agents, they are apparently being overruled by the local cops and being brought back to Los Angeles.
This actually sounds pretty legit.
Yeah. And then Miguel decides this is a good time to say, your dad sucks. He should have been able to get us out of this one. And Kim's like, no, my dad's actually kind of cool. I've been mad at him, but it's really not that, it's not his fault. And he's like, maybe it is. She's like, oh, God, I don't know how to feel about any of this.
Well, Kim, you can't keep using your dad as a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yes.
Literally.
Reza decides he wants immunity. In the Reza and Bob room, he just starts dragging Bob. Somehow, Reza's like, so you're CIA, Bob, huh? Why didn't you tell me any of that? I've been covering things up for you, Bob. And Bob's like, Reza, you better not say something that you're gonna regret for the rest of your life. And Reza says, I want immunity. I want a deal. I can confirm Bob's the bad guy. I'll take you to my office. There's stuff on the computer. It's gonna highlight that Bob Warner's a bad guy. Bob's pissed. Doesn't even like any of this, Emily.
No. I still don't know who to believe, though.
Yeah, it's very intense.
Because this could just be an elaborate ruse that Reza's putting on.
Do you have a theory of how this is working out?
Not really, because like this is all crafted in a way where it's supposed to make us suspicious of both of them, right?
Yeah.
I don't love Marie's response.
Yeah.
I think that there's a way in which Marie could be like, I'm really overwhelmed. Today's ruined. I'm really upset. I gotta go. But instead, she's like, how could you do this to my dad?
I know. Yeah.
And, like, sure, there could be a part of anybody that would be like a reaction. But maybe like you don't just do that to somebody you were about to marry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how long they've known each other, I guess. Do we know how long they've
Years.
Been together? Yeah.
Years.
So it's not like she was just like tricked into this relationship. It's
Years.
Been something that's been building for a while.
Years, yeah. If Reza's the bad guy, it's been deep cover for a while.
Right,
it's been years.
Right.
So later at CTU, Michelle comes to Tony. She's like, hey, Tony, so George Mason is bleeding everywhere. he's bleeding from the face and other orifices, and it's getting gross, and he's sick, right? He's got nuclear radiation poisoning. And Tony's like, how did you know that? That's so good. She goes, well, my tendrils were tingling, was the joke that Emily made. Her spider tendrils were tingling. And she's like, listen, Tony, I feel bad if he's sick, but if he's sick and compromised mentally or physically, like, we can't have him here. He can't be here. I love George Mason, Emily, and I think his storyline here in season two is very good. But what do you think about Michelle being like, yeah, but he's dying and could die in like 24 hours. Should he be in charge of the hunt for the nuclear bomb on the day that the nuclear bomb's supposed to go off?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a point in which he loses like his mental faculties, right?
You would think so. That's what the guy told him.
Yeah. So like perhaps we start putting into a like plan B or something like that where we have
it's like
Tony.
I'm glad you want to do your job, man, but maybe we need someone at least playing catcher here.
Yeah like Tony needs to be briefed on everything.
Yeah.
Poor Tony, he's always playing like
he's having a hard day.
Second fiddle.
Everyone's having a hard day. In Oregon,
Tony's like the viola of the orchestra,
but that's a necessary instrument.
It's a necessary instrument, but gets zero credit and is often very quiet in comparison to others.
You know, in modern rock terms, he's the bass player, right? Overlooked, tragically so. In Oregon, Sherry comes to Lynn. She's got notes for David's speech, and Lynn is insulted and lets it be known. And then Sherry tells Lynn, put your back down, Lynn. She says, I'm here to help. And I read your speech before it got to David. And this is why I'm giving you revisions before you give it to David to give to the speech to the press. Because your speech sucks. And I know a David Palmer speech a lot better than you. So you owe it to David to look at my revisions. At 4:31, we return to the site of the plane crash. Jack has a flare gun now. He also has a handcuffed Nina, and they walk up the wreckage ramp.
Yeah, exactly.
Just this little stairway that has been very gingerly placed by the destruction of the airplane. And as they do, they see a bunch of soldiers who, is that the search and rescue team? Oh God, no, it's not. Whoever these people are bad because they shoot Cutlets in the face.
Yep, that's the end.
Cutlets dead.
Yeah.
Goodbye. See you on The Walking Dead. Jack shoots one
chicken parmed.
Jack shoots one of these guys in the chest with his flare gun, which I marked pretty high on my all-time best Jack Bauer kill moves. Shooting someone with a flare gun, pretty badass.
That's like everything you did as a kid with like the war movies you guys used to
make. Oh yeah, for sure. I thought this was great at the time.
You're like, this reminds me of home.
He grabs an assault rifle. He and Nina start going and he's telling Nina, Nina, I'm going to need you to work with me on this one. We're going to have to team up here. Otherwise, all these soldiers are going to kill the two of us. And Nina says, totally. Yeah. I'll be very above board about everything that has to happen right now.
I got your back. Jack.
At 4:33, Kate Warner wakes up in a room filled with Oriental rugs. Lots of rugs absolutely everywhere in this otherwise empty house. Empty except for the fact that there are humans here, one of whom is this person we've been hearing about all season long, the leader of Second Wave, Syed Ali. And he knows that Kate's been poking around. You've seen things. Things that you shouldn't have seen. What do you know? She says, I don't know anything. I shouldn't even be on this show.
Yes.
And so he brings her to the bathroom where this absolute babe of a Second Wave member.
You think that guy's
hot? He's got these hot Brooklyn thick-rimmed glasses and hair. And I guess this is
and
a like weird...
And like a maniacal face. Though. I guess he's, this is staring at her.
This is a weird take considering that he's power sawing Paul.
No, he has a multi-tool. That's what this
is. He's multi-tooling tall Paul. Tall Paul. Paul is being like held upside. This is terrible. This
yeah,
is
the, Paul's like hanging.
This
and,
is the torture porn stuff
yeah,
again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Season 2 of 24 really ramps it up. It's really hard
Josh
to watch.
Josh was like, he's sanding into
he's
him.
He's like sanding
I was
him.
Like, I was like, no, no. He has a blade on the end of that multi-tool.
Yeah.
He's cutting into him.
2020 multi-tool. And so he's multi-tooling. Poor Paul. It's horrible. It's really savage.
It does have a sander function, to be perfectly honest, but I don't think he's sanding him.
So we go back to the wreckage. This shootout is continuing. Nina is throwing Jack clips for the assault rifle he's got, but she pockets one. And so Jack is then forced to use his handgun. And it's this very intense shootout scene. Another firefight, Emily. when the search and rescue CTU chopper does show up. Ooh, little hiccup on the podcast.
Are you okay?
I'm not. And then when the helicopter lands, Nina takes this opportunity to grab the rifle that Jack Bauer, in a rare, terrible misplay from Jack Bauer, he cast his assault rifle aside when he thought there were no bullets left. Nina had packed a clip filled with ammunition, grabs the gun, and holds Jack at gunpoint. And she says, I would like to talk to the president now. And so she all of a sudden has some leverage.
Yeah.
At 4:43, in 15 seconds, in fact, here comes Megan. Megan shows up at the police precinct and breaks away from the cops for just a moment to give a hug to Kim. She's very scared.
Which
She's
is also something that would never happen in real life.
She loves Kim after one, you
they
know,
would never be in the same area
day.
Together, especially if Kim's considered like a murderer.
Yeah. So she snuck away. She gives Kim a hug. She says, I'm going with my aunt to Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara, that's so good. My dad loves Santa Barbara. And Santa Barbara being roughly 100.
As Miguel's like, no, that's your Aunt Barbara.
That's Aunt Barbara. No, that's Aunt Carol you're thinking about.
I know, but he might have another sister.
100 miles outside of Los Angeles. So it would appear that Megan.
Barbara Bauer.
Megan has evaded the nuclear bomb. I don't think we ever see Megan again. I think that's it.
Oh, thank God.
Pretty sure. We're not out of the woods on Kim Bauer, Emily.
Are we out of the woods with Gary?
I don't know.
Oh, no. We're
I
not.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
I'm not sure.
Why couldn't he get radiation
I'm not
poisoning?
Sure.
He's
all right. We've got just a few minutes left. At 4,
okay,
at 4:45, Michelle is giving the update on what's going on with Jack and Nina, and so that's starting to bear out. Meanwhile, Reza goes to Marie to try to explain what's going on. Your dad's going to need a lawyer, Marie, because I think he's a terrorist. Marie is pissed.
Yeah.
She's like, definitely. How dare you, after everything he's done? And then she walks away from him, but she walks in the same direction that Reza and Agent Richards are going to have to walk. So are they just going to have to like really slowly walk behind Marie?
They turn.
There's only really one way out of CTU,
leave, though. They were turning back towards the interrogation room.
But he's
again.
Taking him to the office to show him the proof.
No, they turn. They turn.
So awkward.
Josh, no.
Okay.
You're wrong.
At 4:52, the phone call begins. The rest of the episode's really intense. Nina's on the line. She makes her terms clear. She wants immunity, but you already have it, says Mike Novick, negotiating on behalf of David Palmer. She says, no, I want immunity for a crime I haven't committed yet, the murder of Jack Bauer. You audibly gasped, Emily.
I know.
You were shocked.
I mean, I'm not shocked.
David also has an incredible look on his face when he says, the murder of Jack Bauer. He has this look on his face. He's like,
This is an emotional time for David Palmer.
David starts crying. He's really upset about this. He verifies with CTU that there's really no other way.
What level of stress do you have to hit as a president to like break that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's happening before our very eyes. Hey. And so he gets on the phone with George, and George is like, yeah, I'm sorry, David. Nina Myers is horrible, and she's also a survivor. She's a survivor. This is why she wants immunity so badly. And he says that she knows if she doesn't kill Jack Bauer now, he'll hunt her down and find her later. And David says, and she's our best chance to find the bomb. Right now, she may be our only chance.
Yeah, I mean, this is the move, right? It sucks, but it's the move.
That's what Jack tells David. They like get on the phone, and Jack's like, David, do not feel like you are screwing anything up. This is the play. It is literally the only play. You have to do this. Please tell my daughter I love her, but don't be upset about this.
And
you didn't do anything wrong.
I die a martyr.
You didn't do anything wrong. It's the only right. There's only one right choice. You made it, and David is sorry. But they do have the address for Syed Ali's house. 18 Starling Court in Chatsworth. Mm-hmm. David goes to, he pulls himself together long enough to, I have to go speak to the press. And then he sees the speech from Lynn. He says, you made some changes. It's better now. Sherry's looking on, holding a pen. She's like, that's right. I wrote those changes. That was me. At the Syed Ali house, this guy, the babe of a terrorist, is literally
he's not a babe. He's really scary.
He's literally throwing salt on Paul's wounds, which is horrifying.
That sucks.
And then he's not telling them anything. How can I tell you what I don't know? And Kate also says, I don't know anything.
Did you see him put rosemary in too?
Of rosemary?
Yeah, just flavoring him.
Oh, God. Jeez. Gross, Fox.
Sorry. And, this is where my mind goes.
And
you know, you insert garlic too.
Oh God, Syed Ali kills this guy. Paul's dead. Paul is dead. And he says, kill Kate too. If she knew anything, she would have told us by now. Kate is still alive by the end of the episode. Jack is as well. Nina has the gun on him and says, it's not going to take them long to find Syed Ali. This isn't how you thought it would end, is it, Jack? And Jack says, it isn't over yet. And that's the end of the episode as we creep to 5 p.m. Really tense. I remember as a kid watching this episode being like, holy shit. Oh, my God. How's he going to get out of this one?
And then you went on with your life for another week.
No, and then I watched the next episode, Emily. Oh. I watched season 2, episode 10. And they kill Jack immediately. We'll see how they do this. They going to kill Jack Bauer, Emily?
No.
No way. Why are you joking about this? Well, anyway, we'll find out exactly how this situation is going to bear out in 1 week's time as we talk about season 2, episode 10. I believe that's the 5 to 6 p.m. hour. Anything else, Emily Fox?
No, listen, man. We just got to move on.
We got to figure out how we're going to do this. There's only one right choice to make, and we're making it by continuing the 24 season 2 recap podcast next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.